You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Drug kingpin Joaquin Guzman Loera's recent escape from Mexico's most secure prison reads like the stuff of fiction. The man, better known as El Chapo, used a small bird to test the air quality of the tunnel he escaped through, a tunnel that had lighting, a motorcycle on rails, and oxygen tanks. And the entire escape happened while El Chapo was undergoing surveillance camera watches. But there are even more dramatic aspects to the Mexican drug war, involving harrowing tales of violence. And Don Winslow has used those drug wars as the setting for his novels, first in 2005 with The Power of the Dog, and now in a sequel called The Cartel. The New York Times recently said of Mr. Winslow, he is to the Mexican drug wars what James Ellroy is to L.A. noir. The Cartel is published by Knopp, and I'm very pleased it has brought Don Winslow to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is El Chapo's second escape from prison following a previous escape in 2001, and it happened during your book tour. Would you consider that good timing?
I wouldn't. You know, listen, if I could put Chapo back in a cell, I absolutely would. I'd trade it all. You know, he's a bad guy.
Well, we're suddenly thinking a lot about what's going on there. There's a stunning new movie called Cartel Land.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Adan Barrera one of the main characters in your book based on El Chapo?
Well, he's drawn from El Chapo. You know, I've been writing about this character, Adan Barrera, for 15 years. You know, first in The Power of the Dog and most lately in The Cartel. The two books together kind of tell the story of a drug agent, Art Keller, obsessed with bringing Adan Barrera down. But to get to the question, you know, if you're going to write about the Mexican drug war in this era, you have to follow the Sinaloa cartel because that's where the action is. That's the driving engine behind all this violence, and that means writing about Chapo.
But there are any number of cartels throughout Mexico, and some of them are at war with each other.
Yeah, you know, through this period that I write about in The Cartel, it's mostly about those wars. But you mentioned Chapo's escape in 2001. That's what set off the current violence because he wanted to put together a mega cartel, and he took on the other cartels. But the Sinaloa cartel has won that war now. So they're really the major player.
In a recent CNN.com piece, you wrote, I've gone out with the Border Patrol, walked the line, sat in cars observing the crossing under the hostile gaze of cartel gunmen on the other side. I've talked with DEA agents, cops, drug users, and yes, drug traffickers. Well, beyond the question of how were you able to gain access to all of those people, why are you writing fiction instead of nonfiction when you've done all of this incredible research?
You know, it's what I do. I'm a crime novelist, and these books at the end of the day are thrillers. They're meant to entertain and interest and be suspenseful and all those things that crime novels should do. I'm a crime novelist, and I claim that proudly. But I also think that fiction sometimes can do things that journalism can't. You know, we're allowed to create. We're allowed to make up the interior lives of people. And I think that that brings a reader in closer, perhaps sometimes in journalism.
And you're able to make these characters complex. So there's a lot of blurring of right and wrong in this book.
Yeah, you know, it's not my job as a novelist to make moral judgments. I have them. But I need to set those aside when I'm writing these characters because I want that reader, you know, to see the world through that character's eyes, however twisted that view might be. And that's my job. And so, yeah, I think there is a lot of moral complexity in this.
Didn't you do some work as a private investigator as well?
I did, sir. Yeah.
I'm sure you've applied that to your writing.
You know, oddly enough, the research techniques that you use in investigations are very similar to the research techniques that you use as a writer, poring through thousands of pages of documents, trying to find what's significant, but more particularly interviewing witnesses.
The book's lengthy dedication is a list of journalists who were either murdered or disappeared in Mexico during the period of time that are covered in this novel. Have you ever been afraid?
Not really. You know, here's the deal. I'm an American, and I'm a fiction writer. And both those things, particularly the former, afford me a certain level of protection that, tragically, Mexican journalists don't have. Cartels are a lot of things. Stupid is not one of them. And they're not going to prod the tiger by coming after, you know, an American novelist. And you know what? I don't think they care.
Well, we see tremendous violence in Mexico, but I've always wondered why it seems to stop at the border, or does it stop at the border?
Well, you know, it doesn't. I mean, the cartels have executed any number of their associates in Texas and Arizona and California. But for the most part, it does stop at the border because, again, they don't want to attract any more attention from DEA or the American government than they already have.
My guest is Don Winslow, whose latest novel is The Cartel. And you've equated the war on drugs with other American wars. In a recent CNN.com piece, you wrote that at 44, the war on drugs has gone on longer than the Civil War, World War II, Vietnam, and Afghanistan combined.
Yeah. You know, we've been.
But it's a different kind of war, isn't it? Isn't it more like the recent wars that we've had to deal with because we're not dealing with a nation?
Well, that's right. We're dealing with what are effectively terrorist groups in many ways. We're dealing with them for the most part in a foreign country. And we're fighting a war against the concept. Similar to the war on terror, we're fighting a war on drugs and not a particular enemy. And it's a futile war.
This book is a sequel, as we said, to a novel you wrote in 2005, The Power of the Dog. Has the war on drugs changed much since then?
Yeah, quite a bit. You know, it's become highly militarized, both from the Mexican cartels, from the Mexican government, and our own government. We've changed our philosophy in how to go after the drug situation. And we've changed it now to trying to arrest or, in some cases, assassinate Mexican drug figures. That's a very different kind of a thing.
You mentioned Agent Art Keller.
Yeah.
Did you base him on anyone in particular?
Well, he was inspired by a whole number of DEA people that I've talked to or that I've researched. You know, Keller starts this back with Dog, Power of the Dog, back in the 70s as an idealist. He really believes that he can do some good back on the streets of America by seizing and stopping drugs in Mexico.
Barrera killed Keller's partner, and Keller used Barrera's dying daughter to trap Barrera into arrest, among other things. This is another example of the lines being blurred in your book at times. There are incredibly violent scenes in this book, including one in which, I don't know whether I should say this while people are still eating lunch, a person cuts and peels the skin off another person's face. Is that something that actually has happened?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Listen, you know, in both these books, 90% of this is taken from reality. That incident really did happen. It did not happen exactly the way that I wrote it in the book, but it definitely happened. My editor would send me notes saying, well, that's over the top. And I'd write back saying, yeah, but that's what really happened.
You've equated Mexican cartels with ISIS in some of your opinion pieces. Don't both use social media to spread terror? Is that the way they're most comparable?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that ISIS took a page from the cartel's playbook. You know, 10 years before this ISIS video came out, or these ISIS videos came out, the cartels were doing this. When I looked at the ISIS videos, and yeah, I've seen that before.
Some of the Mexican cartels, like the Knights Templar, also have religious components.
They do. The Knights Templar come out of a group called La Familia. And La Familia had a sort of pseudo-Christian kind of theology. The head of the cartel wrote his own book based on a very strange American book. They had religious training, Sunday sermons, and then they would go out and train to kill.
And do the most terrible things to people. How did they justify that? Did they see it as, in the way that ISIS sees it, as part of their religious responsibility?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they wouldn't be the first people in the history of Earth to do terrible things in the name of God. And they saw themselves as saviors and protectors of the Mexican people. And they were killing who they considered to be even more violent drug dealers. But they would punish people. You know, they would parade thieves through the street, whipping them with barbed wire. It's one of the more bizarre incidents in the Mexican drug wars.
There's a lot of humor in this novel as well.
I think so, too.
And part of it comes from the slang that the characters use. For instance, one of the agents uses the verb to Celine Dion, which means to sing, as in play the informant. Are these phrases that are really used?
Yeah, they really are. You know, there's a whole sort of narco language, both verbal and nonverbal.
So you can Al Pacino somebody?
You can Al Pacino somebody. If you go into a restaurant and shoot him, you've Al Pacino'd him.
Because that's what Al Pacino's character in The Godfather did?
Exactly. You know, the early Mexican cartel guys back in the late 70s saw those movies and admired them and modeled themselves in a lot of ways.
You write, the so-called war on drugs is a revolving door. You take one guy out, someone else grabs the empty chair at the head of the table. It will never change as long as the insatiable appetite for drugs is there, and it's there in the behemoth on this side of the border, meaning the United States. So you don't see an end to this war?
Well, I only see an end to this war if we come to some sort of sanity about our drug policies and how to handle the drug problem.
And the drugs have changed over the years. It used to be marijuana and then cocaine. Now it's also meth and heroin.
Yeah, you know, heroin's always been around. Meth is a relatively new drug. But let me tell you something. Since two states legalized marijuana, do you know what's happened? The imports of marijuana from Mexico have dropped almost 40%. So by stopping fighting the war against that drug, two states, we started winning the war against that drug.
Is that why you took out a recent ad in the Washington Post kind of proposing the legalization of drugs in the United States? All drugs?
All drugs. Yeah, look, again, we've been doing the same thing for 45 years, and it hasn't worked. And again, I'm a novelist, I'm an entertainer, but having spent 15 years writing about this and researching about it, I thought, you know what, I need to get some skin in the game. I ought to do something, and I ought to come right out and challenge Congress to try to do something.
You've written 19 books and quite a few short stories, mm-hmm. Two books about the cartels.
Yes, sir.
Where do you go from here?
I'm going to write two more crime novels, but they won't be about the drug world. You know, I got to tell you, this book took a lot out of me. And, you know, 5.5 years again of researching this, living with it every day. And so I'll always write crime novels. That's what I do. But I'm going to move on to another subject, I think.
And out of Mexico?
Out of Mexico.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing the next book. Meanwhile, this is The Cartel by Don Winslow, his 19th book. Some of them are collections of short stories?
No, it's my, I think, 18th novel. I wrote one nonfiction book about Vietnam.
And also, you've written for television and film.
I have done, yeah.
And I thank you so much for being on our show. The Cartel is published by Knopf.
Thank you very much for having me.